die. Here we go. For immunity and reward. Survivors ready. Go!
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Survivors Ready. My name is Adam. And this is a show where we talk about Survivor every single week. Well, when Survivor's on, we never miss a week. And I'm joined, as usual, by my faithful co-host, Fatty. Hello, Fatty.
Hi, and I'm not the one in a sling today.
Well, it's never too late. I mean, at some point you might, you know, we don't know. Right.
The day is young.
The day is young. I'm also joined by Sam, who is in a sling, actually.
Hello.
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 And you can explain that in a moment, but we'll go ahead and introduce the one and only Faye Driver, who has finished a lovely grilled ham and cheese sandwich. So, hi, Faye.
Hello, everybody. Yes, did you know you can actually make a fully grilled sandwich within 16 minutes of recording an episode of Survivors Ready?
You almost said "but first," didn't you?
I did, of course.
You can make a grilled cheese sandwich within an episode of Survivors Ready?
No, I had 16 minutes to get here to be on time, and that's when I decided I'm going to make a grilled cheese sandwich, and I did it.
You know, the thing about
the problem was that I wasn't able to eat it on time. So,
but you finished it now, haven't you?
Well, I finished one of them. I have a second one waiting to be wolfed down.
Tubby is having two.
the thing about a grilled cheese sandwich with extra accoutrement, like ham or whatever, is I find that the extra ingredients prevent the cheese from melting as good. So you have to think of ways, like I know in diners, or I've seen this like on Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives and other shows like that, it'll be on the grill and they'll squirt a little bit of water or something and then put a bowl over it and the steam,
that's called basting.
Actually, that's more when you're cooking eggs, but I think I've seen them put a cover on a grilled cheese sandwich for sure. Maybe not the water.
Sure.
But you put a cover on it, it helps to like get the heat dispersed. So I don't know if you did any of that stuff.
Or you do it low and slow is another way.
Yeah.
Well, that was your stripper name back in Pride 48 in Las Vegas, wasn't it? Low and slow?
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. Low and slow.
Okay.
And how are you, Sam?
I am surviving. I am getting used to this thing. I'm like a soaking wet cat in a vet collar trying to get used to it, but they say it gets better. I had rotator cuff repair surgery on Wednesday.
Which is different from rotator cuff surgery, repair surgery,
right,
as we learned last week. Yeah.
This is cuff, C-U-F-F. And we're just going through the post-op stage of it right now. Next week I go back and they tell me how long I have to wear this charming device and what I can and cannot do until then.
Now, so you can actually really say to your doctor, it hurts when I do this, when you raise your arm?
Oh, yes, I could actually do that. And he could actually say, well, then don't do that. And
right,
in fact, I'm absolutely not supposed to do that.
So is the thing that you're wearing, do you have to sleep in it and everything?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
That's
charming.
Yeah,
very big.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable. Yes. It is the next step up from a plain sling. It is an immobilizer.
Oh. And I see you're catching up on your reading there also.
Oh yes, good heavens. I'm not very far into Mr. Rogers though, but I've got lots of light stuff on my phone Kindle too. So reading is about the only thing I can do.
Well, it's fundamental.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have a personal story, Adam?
I mean, nothing has really happened, but I am going to England. I'm leaving tomorrow, and I'm really wishing that I had planned my flights a little bit differently, because I decided to fly on Sunday and come back on a Sunday, and my conference starts on Monday morning. But to get there in time to like check into the hotel and everything, I had to get the earliest possible flight, which is at 6 a.m. So now I have this debate, because for an international flight, you need to get there. You're supposed to get there a couple of hours early, but I do. It's a very small airport here, so I'm not sure.
It's such a tribulation to have to travel to Europe and come back again. I mean, horrors of it all.
Yeah, so now I'm like...
You don't have to be at the friggin' airport 3 hours before your flight.
No, usually they say for international, 2 hours, and for domestic, one.
But you're not flying from Little Rock to London, okay? That's not an international flight. That's a domestic flight.
That's true, but anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm probably not going to get there 2 hours before. It's a small airport.
Just say this. I guarantee you're not going to get there 2 hours before.
But I was thinking,
we've heard stories of you will forget something and have to turn around and go back home, and then you'll have some sort of calamity at the baggage check-in.
Well,
and then
I already have a little
credit card and all this kind of stuff.
I already have a little bit of a calamity.
It's your passport. You do remember you have to have a passport.
No, my passport is in my backpack, and I know I won't forget my backpack. It's already there. I'm good. But I did already make one mistake. I forgot. So I go by my middle name, and which is Adam. Adam is my middle name. That's what I go by. That's what's on my credit cards. That's what's on anything that doesn't really care. So the only thing that has my full name is like government type documents, like my passport and my, you know, driver's license and all that. Well, I forgot, because my airline stuff, my frequent flyer and all that, is also under Adam. So when I booked my flight, I forgot to put my full name. Mm. So now it won't let me check in on the app, because my name on the ticket doesn't match the name on my passport. And this has happened to me before, except it was coming home last time when we went to the Philippines, and I was in Iceland, and they didn't want to let me on the plane because my ticket said Adam Burns and my passport says – anyway. And I should have thought about it. I'm just going to change my name. Seriously. But so I have to go – I have to check in with someone so they can change my name on the ticket.
And Faye, we can't hear what you're saying because you were.
Yeah, that's fine. It wasn't very nice anyway. So okay.
I didn't even know you were talking.
Either that, or he's just mumbling under his breath.
So anyway, nothing. That's just what I'm preparing for. So I've been slowly packing.
Now, are you flying economy or business class?
Economy.
Okay. Well, you know, you still get complimentary alcoholic beverages in economy.
All right. Yeah, I think I'm aware of that. But I'm not a big alcohol drinker.
Excuse me. So one question. Is Mittens going on this trip as well?
Let me answer that for you. No.
No.
Aw. Why would you go all the way to England and not take Mittens?
It wasn't my choice. I told – when I was planning this way back in May, I told him that I was going. I said, you're welcome to come along if you want.
Free
and
hotel.
He doesn't want to do international travel until he gets his citizenship.
Oh, right.
Because he doesn't want to deal with visas and all this kind of rigmarole that he has to do. Also,
well, that makes sense.
Also, he doesn't want to spend the money for a trip, the flight and all that kind of stuff, if we're not going to be able to vacation the full time. So he just didn't really feel like it was a... He didn't feel like value for money was there, plus the fact that he has to go through all those other steps of applying for the visa and doing all that stuff. So,
okay.
It was his choice. I told him he could come. So,
yes.
You know, right. Sam, if you were going with Adam, you'd be able to board early because you need extra time with your sling and everything.
That's true. That's quite true.
So, anyway.
Do you get to board early when you take your sling, Big Fatty?
No, I don't have my sling anymore.
Oh, that's right.
So, anyway, just the special chair.
Right on.
Okay.
Any other personal stories besides myself?
I'm going to Hatlanta to be certified as the executor of my mother's will. So.
Now, how many millions of dollars are you doling out?
Zero.
Anytime I hear I'm the executor of the will, it always makes me think of, like, you know, rich people who die and, you know, they have all this money. And then you said on your show you're setting up a trust. I was like, wow.
No, you have to set up an estate account for her estate, and her estate owns the house now, okay? And I'm the executor of the estate. So there has to be an estate account, so when we do sell the house and everything, then it will go into that account, and then I can distribute as needed.
Disperse.
So are you gonna have an estate sale?
We probably will. For the stuff.
For the knickknacks.
You
know, an estate sale is really just a garage sale for someone who has passed away.
It's a garage sale for dead people.
All right.
Is there a lot of blue china?
There's no blue china. There's no Wedgwood.
Oh, that's too bad.
But there's...
Is it whittled plates then?
No, yeah. No, but there's lots of cut glass and all that kind of stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's nice.
It's heavy as hell. I mean, if it's worth what it weighs, it's worth something. So,
are there any... One final question before we get to Survivor. Is there anything, furniture or piece of memorabilia that you're really hoping to cotton onto to receive as a memento?
There are several things. I've told my brothers. I said, make a list of the things, the stuff that you want, okay, and then we'll kind of all agree on a value of whatever it is. And because my mother made it very clear that it was to be equally distributed as close as possible, and I have the final say-so and all that. But, yeah, like her guest room bedroom suit, which is 20 years old, is still nicer than the guest room bedroom suit that Adam slept on. And so, yes, I want that and a few other things.
For a second, I was like, where does my name come in? You're like, her bedroom suit is better than Adam. I'm like, better than Adam's what? And then you finish this, and I'm like, oh, okay. So then the guest bedroom at the villa.
The villa,
uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, I do have one other personal story. Right as Faye Driver was cooking his grilled ham and cheese sandwiches, I was ordering the official BFO Crema cards for 2019.
Yeah. Oh, nice. So,
how about
that? But you're so organized.
You don't get one unless you send me one. So, you know, that's how I roll.
So that's already set in stone. So someone could send you one now and you would still send one in return. It's not based on last year. Right.
Oh, heavens no. Once I get something from you this year, then you get something from me.
Yeah, I don't know your address.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I don't know where I put it. You gave it to me, and then I don't know where I put it. So it's probably on my phone somewhere.
I'll tell you where you can stick it. But anyway.
Okay.
Oh,
now
geez.
I am. You got, this is not a personal story, but Fatty, I know you've been here. I'm considering flying to Amsterdam.
Okay.
While I'm in London.
The latest episode of Geeky Gay,
and
which is his personal journal podcast that he does every day and that we listen to.
Yeah.
I've started listening to it as well, believe it or not.
You know, I asked my faithful listeners to help me come up with a better intro and nobody responded.
Excuse me?
Well, yours was not valid.
Play my intro for everybody.
I don't have it readily. I'm not Daniel Brewer. I don't have every single sound clip just readily available. Sorry.
Sam in the hinterlands has also started listening to your personal journal podcast, and she's had to go in the hospital and have rotator cuff surgery because of that.
Anyway, so I didn't know if you had any recommendations, because it's so cheap to go to Amsterdam from London, and I've never been there. So
do you want to go to some vulgar bars?
You can make any recommendations you want to make. I'll take anything from museums to bars, whatever you want to recommend.
Well, there's a sex museum. They also sell French fries with mayonnaise. The bars that I go to are the Cuckoo's Nest and the Eagle and the Web.
The Web?
And so you might want to check those out. Okay. Say that again.
You said the Web?
The Web.
Like the spider web?
Yep.
Cuckoo's Nest, Web, and
Cuckoo's Nest has Eagle. The back room downstairs. The Web has the back room upstairs, and the Eagle has the back room downstairs also.
You know, it's interesting though, because I'm not a big back room person necessarily. I mean, obviously, but I do like the strippers, as we know. But I didn't really. I was doing a little bit of research, and I didn't see any strip clubs, so I don't.
I don't. They may have special events where there were strippers, but I don't know.
That must be, people must not like strippers anymore. I guess I'm the only one that's left. There aren't very many good strip clubs anywhere.
Then, of course, you can go to any of the coffee shops and get you a little something to eat.
Oh, right. Yeah. All right, Survivor time? Oh, well, sure. Faye's eating his second grilled cheese, so I don't know if he's going to
Well, I mean, how many minutes are we into this thing, and we haven't even got to the Survivor?
You know, Faye, every episode, Faye asks if we have any personal stories,
and then bitches because
we have a personal story.
Sam has no emotion at all right now because she's so high on painkillers that it's all good. She's loving the personal stories today. Yeah. So anyway, and there's a giggle. Okay.
All right. Okay, let's go. Season 39, episode 2, titled YOLO, Let's Play. Everybody knows what YOLO stands for, right?
I don't.
You only live once.
You only live once. It's okay. A young person thing.
Oh, well, then no wonder I don't know it. How did Faye
All right, so it is night 3 at the Lero tribe. It is just after the tribal council where who was voted out?
Ronnie.
Molly, who I thought was going to be a very strong player. But
No. Ronnie was voted out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. I've ruined it.
Yeah, thanks for ruining it. Hey. Spoiler alert. So, Ronnie, it's already spoiled.
Thank you.
Well, people who are listening to this have seen the show. It's not a surprise.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, so,
Ronnie gets kicked out, and Aaron is the person who's freaking out, right? He's having some kind of a meltdown or something. I don't quite understand why he was having a meltdown.
Well, he and Ronnie thought they were running the game.
And which one is that Aaron guy?
He's the one that's got the tattoos and owns the gym. He's the real hot one in my book.
Okay. Yeah. Is he the blondie kid or?
No. He's tan. I mean, he's dark skinned. He's kind of muscular
He's very muscular. So,
okay.
Got some tattoos, right. I think.
Kind of Middle Eastern features or whatever.
Yes. Okay. Oh, that guy. Oh, yeah. All right.
And I thought you really don't want to lose your shit this early in the game. I don't care if he was really right in what he was saying, because he was just, nobody told me what was going on, yada, yada, yada. I just can't trust anybody now, just going on and on for everybody. And even if you're right, you don't want to have a freak out like that, because everybody's going to be like, all right, this is a loose cannon here. Maybe we need to get rid of this person, right. You know? So I thought that was a bad he got way too emotional, way too early.
Right.
Speaking of loose cannons, go ahead.
All right. Well, we get through that. We move on to day four. It's in the Vokai tribe. Who? Aurora? Is there an Aurora?
No. Nora. N-O-U-R-A.
Pardon my writing, please. Excuse me. Nora is complaining, oh my God, Nora, about the lazy people. And she just goes on. She just does not stop talking. What is the matter with this woman?
What do you think about this, Sam?
I think Nora's a kvetch. I think she just is. She's going to be whining and carrying on and bitching to everyone about everything, because that's how she deals with stuff.
She reminds me of the woman that was the first one to go on the edge of extinction.
Yes, I can't think of her name. I was like, she's that woman for this season.
Oh yeah, the mom.
Aubrey?
The mom. It wasn't Aubrey. It was the mom. Well, I think
her name
was
something weird like Zap or Spree or something like that.
We all know who we mean, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But anyway, okay, so her, Nora, and Jason, the guy who was looking for the idol in the first 15 minutes, who has painted a target, who has received a target. I don't think he put a target on his back, but everyone is like, oh, what are you doing looking for an idol?
Right.
Oh, yeah, that was so trumped up, though.
Right. But he plays it through the entire episode, this thing about, oh, apparently I'm on the outs because I was looking for an idol, and he never shuts up about it. He keeps reminding people.
Well, when they're discussing who they're going to vote out, his name was right there with Nora's. You know, so, I mean, he wasn't wrong. His name was on everyone's lips. But I think Nora may have gotten a little bit more goodwill. I don't know if this is in your notes, but it seemed like the next day after she was doing all that bitching and everything, she led a yoga session or something.
Yes. Yeah.
And everyone had a good time, it looked like. They were all really enjoying it. And so,
no, I don't think everybody had a good time.
I do.
No, I think they were playing along because, like, this woman is a crazy person. If I don't do this yoga, she's going to chug me in the middle of the night with a coconut on my coconut.
Now, Kenny G did say in his little aside that he had fun and he really thought it was cool. He said that in his little one-on-one with the camera.
Oh, yeah, oh gee, a millennial said they had fun at yoga. Oh.
All they needed was a goat. Then they could do some goat yoga.
Now, the other thing about this, though, is somebody did say, like, we're burning all this energy doing these jumping jacks when we, you know, we've only barely had a cup of rice to eat. So I kind of think, like, whoa, that's a really valid point.
Right.
Okay, well, anyway, so.
Sam, what did you think of the yoga?
I was surprised that after she'd been so bitchy, they were all so agreeable about doing the yoga.
Sam thought, man, I wish I could do yoga right now.
Yeah, that too. I also thought it was a nice chance to look at all the pretty people.
Well, okay, I'll give you that.
All right, well, we'll carry on. It's the evening now of night four at the Laro tribe. Chelsea, who is the digital content creator from Los Angeles. Which one is Chelsea?
She is.
She starts flirting in any case.
She's
26.
She's the dark-haired girl.
Yeah, she's from Los Angeles. She's got the dark hair, and she was the one who. I mean, she seems like she may be a pretty good player. I don't know. I mean, we've only seen a couple of episodes, but she seemed to be having some good strategy, at least I thought, in the first couple of episodes.
Okay. Well, she's flirting with all the muscular men, I guess. And then some girl found an idol, an immunity idol. Who was it that found that idol?
I don't know who it was.
So it was one of, I call her Weird Mom, but I don't know who she
was. Was it Janet, the older lady?
No, it wasn't her.
Was it Elizabeth? No, she's the swimmer. Was it Molly?
No, it wasn't Molly.
I know somebody found an idol, but I don't remember who it was. So,
right. Okay. Well, anyway, somebody found an idol.
Yeah.
It's possibly Lauren Beck, the nanny, but I'm not sure.
Lauren's the one with the extensions.
Right. She's got the blonde dreadlock things.
Yeah, no, it was a dark-haired girl. Okay. Whatever. Somebody gets an idol, and then Kelly, Idol Island, whatever
it's called. Hey, wait a minute. I tell you what, we'll ask Siri. Hey, Siri, who got the immunity idol on the last episode of Survivor, Island of the Idols?
I'm not sure.
Okay, neither are we.
Right, so. Somebody, but I know someone did find an idol, but I don't remember who it was. So,
okay.
If only we had a series of wires and tubes at our disposal. So,
all right. Well, Kelly goes off to Idol Island, and Robin Sandra. So, Robin Sandra out there.
Was it? It's not Kelly. It's Keely.
No, Kelly is the Asian girl who went to the island of the island.
K-E-L-L-E-E.
Yeah, that's the Asian girl who's on the other team. She didn't get an idol.
Chelsea found an idol.
Oh, thank goodness. The digital content creator.
Yeah, the one we were just talking about. She found an idol. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay, Kelly goes to Island of the Idols, and Rob and Sandra are there nattering at her like somebody on a 20-minute show.
Talking about, like, Sandra was talking about her dogs and
yeah. It was crazy. They scold her for not listening and offer her this deal. If you answer 5 questions, you can get an idol for 2 tribal councils, I think.
Yes.
Immunity for 2 tribal councils.
Right.
It's one or the other, anyway.
An idol that she can use for 2.
Okay, there you go.
No, yeah. No.
Yes, yeah.
She can't use it for 2.
No, she has to use it within the next 2 is what I meant.
Well, the next 2 that she goes to.
Right. She thinks, oh, I don't think I can do that. So then they offer her a second deal of you answer 3 questions, then you can have an idol that you can use up to 3 councils that you go to. So she hums and she haws and she says, okay, I'll do it. So they ask her 3 questions, and she wins, and they're all Rob and Sandra are beside themselves with pride that she was able to do it. Do we have any comments about any of this?
No, I think Island of the Idols was a stupid concept, and this was boring to watch. I didn't get anything out of it, and I again hope it gets better because it's really, I think it's boring, and so I didn't enjoy it. That's all I got to say.
Sam?
I agree. I thought this was dumb. I thought it was an excuse to get another idol into the game. And the only interesting part is when she goes back and what she tells her tribe about what happened out there, too.
Yes. Yeah, let me go ahead. Which is?
which is she uses the same lie that the other girl used last week. She said there were the three urns and I was supposed to break one and I didn't get anything in Obuhu. But then Kelly, you know, oh, she stages this impressive scene on them, though. What? Somebody who doesn't have dogs barking in the background should pick that up.
Well,
the scene that Kelly stages, I thought that was kind of neat.
Well, you know, she cried. Basically, the scene that she staged was she was just boo-hooing, and I thought she really overdid that. Like, if I was there on the tribe, I would be like, okay, come on. Why are you crying so much? Because, you know, I mean, who would... So she's crying. She's, like, doing that thing where she starts to strip, and she's like, I promise I didn't get anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like,
oh,
here,
no, you
show.
Don't have to strip. You don't have to strip.
And I'm like, okay, she's going, nobody said it. I mean, no, maybe she did a really good job. If I was on the tribe, I would have felt that was fishy. Because she overacted that thing, in my opinion. But that's what she did. And she had the idol. She wanted them to try to strip her, I think, because she had strategically hidden the idol in her ponytail.
Which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, that part was brilliant, as assuming it didn't fall out, because I think that was a little risky. It could have fallen out. I mean, your hair right. is not – your hair can part yeah. in a little hole form and, you know, whatever, because she had kind of flipped her ponytail like a little bag or something. But anyway, I think she wanted them to try to, like, pat her down so that she would have – but they didn't. They're like, no, we trust you. We don't have to do any of that, and I don't know. I mean, it worked, but I thought it was overacted for sure.
Well, and the reason that they've both come up with this idea of breaking the pots is that that was part of the edge of extinction, but the one before that, where they had to go and try to win an idol and they had to break a pot and something like that. So that was something that had been done before. That's not just a fluke that they both came up with that.
Although Kelly did say that she walked up to this beach and there were these two gigantic carved heads. She didn't say it was Robin Sandra.
Right.
But she did say there were these big heads on the beach.
Right.
Now, I was wondering, you know, if I was in that situation and I had to go to the Island of the Idols, would I lie? Would I not lie? And, you know, both of the folks so far have decided to lie. And then I was thinking, so after more people start going, does that help you that you lied? Are you like in a little fraternity of the people who've gone and you're all kind of lying together, you know, because you know what happened, you know? Or is it more of a liability where they're like, oh, that person lied or what, you know? So it'll be interesting as more people go to see if like the choices they make help them or bite them in the butt or, you know, whatever. Because then, you know, they're also the next person that goes, they're going to be like, oh, they're going to think, well, maybe they really did get an idol and they just lied about that too. Because they're going to be like, oh, it probably was a lot easier than what they thought. It wasn't just a chance game. It was just something with Sandra and, you know, what's his name? So we'll see. But the island itself is boring. Sandra and why can't I remember his name?
Rob.
Rob, thank you. Sandra and Rob, they are just boring.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. I don't like either of those two people, and I don't like the entire concept. And the fact that every different person who goes there gets the different – some sort of different, air quotes, test where they have to – some sort of pass this, you know, out of the
– Well, and they've made it out that, oh, this is going to help you win the game. Okay, here are the important things you need. Listen to people. Know how to build fire. And the next one, they'll say, oh, we're going to go out in the water because you have to know how to swim.
Right. You know? Right. I mean, and it'll be Elizabeth Beisel or something. She'll be like, oh, great. I know how to swim. But yeah, they're not even tailoring it to like what's going on in the game. And I know we're really early in, but even if they would like pay it, like I know Rob and Sandra go to the tribal – even if they would somehow tailor it to like what happened at Tribal or.
But that kind of gives it away that they're.
Yeah, I guess. They don't have to say it. Well, right. I mean, but my thought process is they could do the same concept without having Rob and Sandra at all. You could go to an island and have a note that teaches you this thing, basically.
Right.
You know, or whatever. There's no need for them to be there at all. And they're not adding anything to it, at least in my opinion.
Right.
It's a dumb concept at the moment.
I wonder if Sam has anything that she wants to say about this crazy Island of the Idols situation.
I agree. I think it's a dumb concept. The fire was okay, but this talking to other people and calling that, oh, yeah, yeah, you need to learn to talk to people, and here, we'll give you... I think it's just an excuse to add more idols into the play and to stretch out the game time to make it fill up the appropriate amount of airspace, because I don't get a lot of value added either.
Right. All right, so she comes back. She goes through her big lie. And by the way, if I was on this show and somebody came back from the Island of the Idols and said, oh, no, nothing happened. I don't have anything. I didn't gain any advantage or idol at all. I would be thinking,
you know, they're lying.
You're lying and you have something. You probably have an idol and you're going to be on my beep, beep, beep radar 100%.
Right.
So. All right. And I agree with Adam. I'm curious to see what happens as more people go to Island of the Idols, what, you know, how they're going to cover their story about Rob and Sandra. Okay.
Or whether they'll just work that into the plot.
Right.
We'll see.
Okay. It's immunity. The immunity challenge, which is the immunity and a spice reward.
Did y'all think they all got a little too excited about the spice reward on day six?
Like, yes.
It's like, oh, my yes. God, we haven't had salt in 3 days.
Oh, yeah. I particularly thought Dan laid it on a little thick.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, but you've never been on an island for 3 days with only rice and whatever snail you can pick up off the beach. I'm sure even after a day, you want some salt. Yeah, I mean, sure, it was over the top, but I think a day or two and all you're eating is rice and coconut and, you know, some snail poo that you find on the beach or whatever. I mean,
there you go.
You want some spices.
Snail poo stew.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, we'll be adding the Survivors Ready recipe blog later on. For snail poo stew over rice, of course. And I might add, we might be able to get Faye's grilled ham and cheese sandwich recipe up also.
Yes, the croque monsieur.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds marvelous. Okay. All right. So they do this challenge. They have to swim. It looks kind of hard, actually, and release. I think it's untie a ladder from the bottom of the ocean, which doesn't float. Sorry?
Heavy ladder.
A heavy ladder. Yeah, the super heavy ladder, in which they then have to yard onto the land, or no, they have to stand the ladder up in the middle of the sea. Someone has, like, they have to hold the ladder up themselves. They're not leaning it on anything. Someone has to climb up the ladder, untie the bag of balls. Big fatty.
No, I'm not going to.
And then,
and fatty, then fatty's not going to touch those balls, Faye. So yeah. just move right along.
I'm going to try. And then they have to roll the balls into three separate little targets, kind of almost a la the Plinko game on Price is Right.
Right. Well, they have to cross the ladder has to go become a bridge also.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yeah.
So. And I want to point out, I don't know if this is in your notes, but the first team to free the ladder from the bottom of the ocean floor is the Lyro tribe, and it's because Elizabeth Beisel is the one that swims down and helps to untie it. I think her swimming ability is already helping her team, because she was one of the two that dove down to untie the ladder, and they were the first ones to get the ladder free. So,
mm-hmm. Agreed.
Sam?
I agree. I think having Elizabeth on their team is a huge help. I think she's a very strong contender. And I thought this was actually a fairly good challenge because it involved a lot of teamwork and was also physically challenging.
Right.
And the holding the ladder up in the water was actually more difficult than you might think it would
see,
be.
See, that's the hardest part of it. That's impressive.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so as was said, I think the Laro tribe was basically did the best in this. They were the first to get their ladder. They got their bag. However, they did lose the bag because it was when whoever went up to get it kind of threw it willy-nilly and they couldn't find it. But they were, the Laro tribe were the best. The Volkai tribe, their ladder fell twice, and I don't know, was Nora of particular help or hindrance in this?
She was probably talking.
So that allowed Nora's talking allowed the Laro tribe to get their three balls really quickly. I think Missy was the most successful on the ball, you know, the rolling of the ball into the target, mm-hmm. as was Elaine, who also helped. Elaine, the cowgirl lesbian. Yes. So, Laro tribe wins the spices.
Okay, sorry.
All right. Okay. Big... got to tweak your nipples like Cliff from Big Brother. All right. So Volkai tribe on day 6, it is the post immunity. They have lost the immunity and they head back to their camp. Does anyone have anything else they want to talk about the immunity challenge?
I thought it was a good one.
So. Yeah, I thought it was good, but I didn't have anything specific to say about it.
Oh, okay. Is that me or y'all?
No, it's me. It's me. Oh, okay. It's me, Faye. So Volkai tribe, it's after they've lost the immunity, it appears that Nora and Jason are on the block. Jason, because of his searching for the idol.
Right.
The ladies, however, are starting to talk about Molly. The ladies being Lauren, Nora, Kelly, Janet, and Jason. Jason, the idol searcher. And does anybody have any comments about those?
Yeah, I didn't know who the hell Molly was when they started talking about her. I'm like, who the hell is Molly? You know,
well, I don't know. I don't know if it was truly happening, but during the entire episode, they were kind of focusing on her talking to those other two guys. And they were saying that she was flirting with them and they were calling it the Queen, King and the Jack because it was her.
Oh, right.
And I don't know that it was right. Her and Kenny G was the
Aaron.
Jack and
Aaron.
Yeah.
And
Aaron. And, you know, they were kind of it kind of seemed like they were the ones that were going to be making the decisions and everything.
Right.
And the girls, I don't know if it was strategy or if the girls were jealous. I'm not really sure, you know, because they were really focusing a lot on the fact that, oh, she's just flirting with all the guys. And, you know, so you never know whether they're like, well, we got to get her off because she's just flirting with everybody. But I will say, I feel like the one that came up with the idea to vote Molly off was Lauren, which is the she's the nanny that has the blonde extensions or the braids. And I think she's one to watch. Because she was saying, because basically I did, I mean, I know we haven't seen these folks very much, but I felt like the way they were portraying Molly and those three, that they might have done well going forward if they'd have kept those three together, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Molly, they were kind of eating out of Molly's hands, at least based on the editing. Again, you never know. So I think that was a very, her saying, hey, maybe instead of voting out the two that are on the bottom, we should go ahead and make a move and
right.
get someone who. So I think she's showing some strategic thinking early on in the game. And mm-hmm. I also feel like that this woman's thing that they're wanting to do, is this the tribe that has the woman's? Kind
I
of
believe
the woman's
it is.
Alliance.
Yes.
Except they must have left Molly out of that one.
Yeah.
I think they could make it a little ways with that woman's alliance. Usually I don't think women's alliances last very long, but at least in Big Brother for sure. But I think they might get some gameplay out of that if they stick together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess we go to the tribal council meeting, and I would like to say Jeff needs a stylist who doesn't buy all of his clothes at L.L. Bean, I think.
Right. Well, yes. But, you know, that's
well, he's no Julie Chen, but I think he is right. age appropriate at least, you know. So, I mean, he's got that going for him.
How about his hair? What did you think of his hair?
Yeah, well,
it was okay in the early part of the show, but when he came to Tribal, there was something up with it. You're right.
Well, I don't know. He always wears the same thing. He wears island appropriate clothing. I don't really, I mean, what are you going to put him in, a suit and a tie? I mean, he wears.
Well, no, but I'm starting to get tired of this, you know, this the jungle traversing explorer couture. Yes, thank you, Big Fatty.
Well, I don't know what else he's gonna wear. It's appropriate to the island theme. I mean,
it really was hitting me on the head, like a little too straight, a little too on the nose with that last shirt.
Well, what season number is this? Like 31 or
39.
Something? 39. I mean,
nine.
It's just hitting you that he's wearing island clothing in season 39 of Survivor.
Well, no, I'm just saying the particular outfit was just a little too on point. Like most other times it's been a little more subtle. But this time it was like really, I'm in the jungle.
There were one too many pockets in the cargo shorts.
Exactly.
One too many.
Now, when he comes out in a pith helmet, then then I'll agree with you.
Okay. All right. So Jason's obviously feeling like he's on the block. Takes quite a bit of time for himself to say, I'm innocent. Like I don't have an idol. He dumps his bag. He does the same sort of trick that these other girls are coming back from Idol Island. No, I'm innocent. Let me strip down to my underwear to show you that I'm not holding an idol between the cheeks of my crack.
I have 2 points about this. One of them is, I still say. I understand strategic or strategy wise why you're like, oh, someone's more dangerous if they've got an idol. However, it's such a big deal that if anyone even looks for an idol, they have this target. Like you're going to go on Survivor and not look for an idol. It just blows me away. Like, oh, they were looking for an idol. Vote them out. Yes, everyone is looking for an idol.
And the title of the season is Island of the Idols.
So I'm just like, okay, we're just looking for things to paint targets on people's back, obviously, because everybody is looking for an idol. It's just the fact that he wasn't secretive enough about it. You know, he didn't go, oh, I'm going to go take a poo and then look for an idol while he was away or something. You know, he actually just left and started looking. And the thing about stripping down and like, oh, I promise I don't have an idol. I think the thing that people are targeting you for is not whether you have one or not. It's that you looked. So they're like, oh, he's going to be one of those that's off looking all the time. So let's get them out. I mean, sometimes they're really afraid. Oh, this person probably has an idol. We either need to get the idol in play and get it out of their hands, or we need to get them gone. But even if you don't have one, they're going to use the fact that you were looking against you. It's just weird. It's weird.
But I think part of the strategy of playing and winning this kind of game is pointing out other people's foibles and keeping other people on the radar and your name out of the talk, right? So if you can say, oh, he was looking for an idol. Oh, he's going to be a bad one. Idol, idol, idol. That guy, that guy. I think it's a way to protect yourself.
Until you protect yourself too much.
I can see that. I can see that. But
especially
Sandra,
at the beginning when...
Sandra and... oh my God, my
Rob,
thank you. I don't know why my brain will not remember that name.
Wait, have you been recently running up the steps and that you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain?
No, I didn't. Well, it's been long enough. I've got my breath now, but yeah. So they were impressed that he was emptying his bag. They're like, oh, he's really playing now. So they liked it that he was emptying his bag.
Yeah. Well, great for them. Okay, so Nora gets on the mic and never stops talking.
Oh, my God.
She's all metaphor all the time, treading water. And here we go with all the metaphors. Like, everyone's getting in on the metaphors. Creepy Nick, creepy Dan, I mean. Dan, the feely guy.
Yep.
I just love touching the women. It's Chestnut Checkers, who is... taking his cues from another recent reality TV
Big
star.
Brother.
Jamal is in first gear. It's a slow burn. Anyway, so we get to the votes. Does
now,
anyone have anything
else? Was it Lauren who said, no, I think we're in fourth gear now, or at least we need to be playing that way? And then some people got some weird looks on their face like, uh-oh. The vote may not go the way we want it to. Someone's saying we're already in fourth gear. We thought this was going to be an easy eviction. We were just going to pick off somebody on the bottom this week. And anyway, I thought that was interesting as well.
Absolutely.
All right. We go to the votes. Jason gets a vote. Nora gets a vote. Molly gets a vote. And Molly gets another vote and another vote, and Molly gets all the votes. With the exception of Jason, who gets two votes from Jamal and Jack. Yeah, Jack, the young kid.
You know, that's not a...
Right.
It's not necessarily a strategy, but if you think about it, if you can be just annoying enough on one of these shows to really put yourself on the bottom... but not annoying enough where people want to get rid of you, you could theoretically stay longer with people going, oh, we want to keep someone that has a bigger target on their back. So we know this person's not going to win, but we're not going to vote them out yet because they're crazy. So, you know, they're going to be an easy vote out later and, you know, it'll keep me in. So I don't know. That would be a fine line to walk. And I don't think I think that's just how she is. But I think you could make it a little bit farther if you're not at the top by putting yourself on the bottom by being, like, annoying, but not annoying enough, you know? I don't know.
Sam,
which is exactly the look that Sam is giving you as you're making that explanation.
Okay. Now, I was, in fact, just as blindsided as the voted out person on this show. I didn't pick up on it. And then when I went and looked back, and I heard there were a few little hints dropped here and there in that chit chat before the vote. But no, I was totally surprised how the vote went down this time. I think it was a smart thing to do. I think it's one of the smartest votes I'd seen on either Survivor or Big Brother recently. But I was surprised.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think they were smart to start picking these. I mean, this is what I think this is the smartest way to play, is to take out the big people. And as soon as someone starts getting friendly with too many people, I would be like, oh, I don't like this guy. Get rid of him.
Right.
So that's that then. So Molly gets voted off. I think she's quite surprised, as are most of us or some of us. And we go to the teaser for next week.
Next time on Survivor.
Vince is approached by a bunch of the big beefy guys and wants to be a bro. Come on, bro. Come and join with us. Vince is the Asian.
Right.
Possibly he's either gay or he's Asian. It's difficult to tell.
Well, he's definitely Asian because he's overweight.
Right, that's
no,
right.
No, it's unusual for an Asian guy to be overweight. Not he's Asian because he's overweight. You got it wrong.
Okay.
You got it wrong.
There's nothing that says he wasn't bulking up to be on Survivor. Maybe right. he's a 80-pound twink in his real life.
He better watch out. He might hurt his rotator cuff.
Female insured is what I have as a note. I have no. We're talking teaser. Did someone get hurt?
Somebody got hurt.
Someone had a hand cut or something. I can see my bone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really pay much attention to the next time because anytime they're saying next time, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch it when it comes on. I don't need to. It's kind of like those TV shows where the literally half the show is before they go to commercial, they show you what's going to happen after commercial. I'm like,
yes,
I'm going to see what happens after the commercial. Don't spend half your freaking episode telling me what's going to happen after the commercial. I'm going to see it. In 5 minutes when the commercials are done, you know? Anyway.
But we need to pad. If we need 5 extra minutes to pad, we're going to show it. Yeah.
It's padding is all it is. So I don't really pay attention to those. I usually watch the votes because usually as the theme music is going on, they show all the votes. So I pay attention who voted for whom, but I don't really pay attention to what's happening the next week. So I don't know.
And then there's another reference. Some sort of impossible mission is going to occur. There's going to be some challenge or something from Island of the Idols.
Maybe it'll get less boring.
Do this thing. So that's it. That's episode 2 of season 39 of Survivor, a YOLO Let's Play.
Were there any notable crotches that anyone made note of? Crotch is a bad word. I need to just say packages. Crotch sounds like you have an infection.
Lewd?
No, it sounds like you have an infection in your crotch or you have a smelly crotch or, you know, something like that. I think package sounds sexier. So were there any packages?
Yeah, because smelly package and infected package sounds much better than... Okay.
I didn't notice anything.
I noticed no bulges.
But there were some boys running around on the immunity challenge and other places.
Oh now, yeah.
I will say this, the redhead, the ginger, he finally took off those khaki pants.
Tommy.
For the swimming thing. So I was glad. I was like, God, take off the full length khaki pants.
Right.
All right, well, I guess we'll go ahead and end it here. So, Faye, where can you be found?
You can find me listening to the Geeky Gay Daily Audio Podcast at pinkwheelnuts.com.
Oh,
cool.
Is that the only daily podcast you listen to?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, great.
Sam, where can you be found on and off your meds?
I'm Sam in the Hinterlands on Twitter.
All right. And Fatty, where can you be found?
Well, I'll be in Hatlanta Wednesday through Friday or Saturday of next week. So
everybody can find him in Hatlanta.
Right.
Executing a will.
Right.
And I can be found at geekygay.com.
And in London in Amsterdam.
Yeah, maybe. You can find many more. Oh, you can find us at SurvivorsReadyPodcast.com, where you can find back episodes, and you can find many more LGBT and LGBTQ friendly podcasts at Pride48.com. And we will see you guys next week. Bye, everyone. From outside the Tiki Hut, I'm Adam. All right. See you guys next week.
From outside Tribal Council?
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.